See, I told you, Ronnie's the get it guy.
Yes, yes. And I love it, Ronnie. You're amazing.
Thank you, Chris.
So are we all going to get nicknames throughout the So Ronnie's the get it guy, and then Christy, she gets the now woman or now girl or
now girl, yeah.
And Art's the slow artist.
Don't even ask me.
By your own identification, if we might add, Art.
Welcome to the Quest for Presence podcast. This is an intentional community of time weavers. Many of us have been burdened by clock time. We forget that there are so many wonderful and beautiful features in this gift of time. Come join us. There is a treasure for you in every episode.
Before we actually launch into the book in the next episode, there's a statement about addiction. And I say that a friend of mine who used to bartend recently described the difference between a connoisseur of alcohol, wine in particular, and an alcoholic or binge drinker. The connoisseur always takes more time, while the alcoholic drinks as though time is running out. So I believe that such time compression is universal in all types of addiction. And I'm wondering if, I think Art was gonna, because Art has done so much work with recovery. You know, Art, do you have any, you know, comments about that?
Well, yeah, sir, I couldn't agree more with your friend's statement. Of course, he's using, you know, one facet of a substance, you know, alcohol, wine, but it applies across whether it's substance use or what they might call in the DSM process or behavioral addictions. While I struggled with substance abuse for a long time, got away from that in my early 30s, but the one that really was underneath and continued was sexual addiction, which would be process or behavioral, right? But still the same things apply. As I was compressing time in the acting out and in the behavior, you know, basically saying without saying it, I don't want to be present to life. And so this whole idea of we want what we want when we want it was certainly driving that. But then I think what you're taking us deeper into, that even those of us that don't have the big A addiction or have gotten sober have to discover that we're still asleep in many ways to the ego's patterns that are still driving us in this time function.
And what's that been like for you to, what's your life been like since you've understood this?
Really crazy and messy and confusing. And I'm like not on the simplicity on the other side of complexity yet, you know, or when I get there, then something else comes up. Started 20 something years ago with discovering character defects and shortcomings that had nothing to do directly with the addictive behavior. And then going deeper and deeper over the last 20 years with other consciousness practices that show the subtlety of those, as Christy said, those things that are, you know, we're asleep to. But it's been beautiful. It's been fun. It's been painful. I don't ever see an end to it, the journey, as long as I'm still breathing, I guess.
So it hasn't gotten any less messy.
Not really. It's just weird when you, it was predicted in its 12-step, and I see it also in a lot of really good deep Enneagram teachers, that the more layers that arise and soften and go away, the next layer is going to arise, which comes back to acceptance without judgment, right? If I don't get used to that pattern of life and death and rebirth as a continual thing, then I'm going to be mad, shocked, ambushed by the next time something rises up. And then my tendency is if I'm not awake, then I'm going to go dualistic on it. I either attack it and try to make myself virtuous, or I go in the other direction and try to use addiction in some way, shape, or form to numb myself to it, rather than being conscious or present long enough for something new to emerge.
Yeah, once you start going down this path, you start to learn that chaos is part of the deal, right?
Yeah.
That full catastrophe living that, you know, that Jon Kabat-Zinn's first book, right? So that's part of it. That is actually goes back to your earlier question, you know, what is it outside of time? You know, what is it other than clock time, right? Well, you know, we'll get into this, but chaos or entropy, right, is real. I mean, things are falling apart. The physicists have told us, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, everything falls apart. The Buddha said, all is suffering, right? It's not just life that's suffering, everything, you know, even immaterial things, right? So when we start waking up to our consciousness, we start becoming aware that it's not just about us, right? The universe is conspiring in other ways, and maybe we should be part of the conspiracy instead of what many people do is come up with all kinds of stories about, you know, what's going to happen. You know, it's all going to end. The end is coming, you know? We better, you know, get our guns and ammo. Right?
And milk and bread.
And milk and bread. So, yeah, so I think you, Art, or anyone else may can talk about how, what is it that wakes us up, right? So, Christy, maybe you can say, what are those things that have led you to kind of, oh, wait, I can't do time compression anymore?
Well, I think it's a great understanding. And once we understand things, so to me, presence is a divine interaction. It's a gift of time called the present. It's the present time, and it's a gift of time. And where we're presence, that's when we find our gift, because that's when we have a divine interaction. And, you know, I've also, and a lot of things, you know, that I've read and stuff, and, you know, listening to Art, I believe that we're very resistant. We're very resistant to many things. We're resistant to seeing a life unfold. We're resistant to past things. We're resistant to future things. We're resistant to acceptance. We're resistant to presence itself. But what we're really seeking is the non-resistance. So we indulge in something in order to make ourselves, so we can feel that little glimpse of non-resistance. You know, I read a deal, and I was actually involved in, I had some interactions with, who focused solely on sex addiction. And listening to them talk, it was very interesting. Just learning about how big it really is. And but the realization, the glimpses, people are seeking non-resistance, and in the very present moment, this was so beautiful, is where you find your gift, because you find the gift of non-resistance. It's peaceful. It's a peaceful place, and you don't need things outside of you to be in that very peaceful place. And I've all of us in life, that's what we're really seeking. We're seeking that peaceful place. And that's what I love about this book, and I love about this work and everything you talk. It's really coming back to that peaceful place. And it's the gift of time. It's the gift of the present moment. It's just exactly that. It's a present. It's a gift. And it's so beautiful. And listen to Art, you know, it always just comes back to me. You know, another addiction for most of us, shopping. Shopping, you know, if I go and shop, I like, but because I'm not resisting anything until the guilt or whatever sets in, and now I'm resisting something again, so I indulge again. Eating, same thing. Yep. You know, I feel good, I'm non-resistant, and boom, the guilt sets in, now I'm resisting something again, so I go back to the indulgent. And we spend so much time trying to be in the non-resistance, which is our gift of the present.
Whatever we resist will persist.
Exactly.
I like that.
We're just starting on the map here, right? We're just beginning. And my hope is that people listening are finding something in what's said that they can resonate with. I think that the resistance part, I'm reminded of the whole idea of Taoism and the Tao and the water course way that everything is flowing, you know, and everything in the universe is part of the flow. And when we get out of our own way, we can experience the flow. And what happens, though, because of childhood trauma or past addictions, we've come to think that there's something outside of us that we need to fill our hole, right? And then we struggle with that. The mind, actually, it's the mind, right? That's the problem. The mind is what's the resistance, right? The ego is where the resistance is.
Edging God out.
Yes.
So when we edge the spirit out, then we become separated. And then we live in this great separation.
Which is an illusion. I mean, there's we're not separated, right? And so I think the whole idea of having a new model of time is that I think, at least believe, that underlying our tendency to become separate and to give into the separateness is that we've inherited this monolithic view of time as something that is segmented, right? Seconds become minutes, minutes become hours, calendars, to-do lists, schedules. And it's only a device. It's not reality. You know, I always say when Benjamin Franklin said time is money, he wasn't actually saying that they're the same thing. It was a metaphor, people, right? You know? And so, but because of computerization, commercialization, commoditization, all the things we talk about, to be a connoisseur of time, you have to Christie's word, you have to let go of all of that, right? Clock time is part of the resistance. It helps the resistance. It feeds the resistance. Mm-hmm. So we need a new model of time that you've already all alluded to, from Ronnie waking up to embracing his day spontaneously, arts recovery, Christie's present, right? And so I think that would be the one of the last questions I'd ask. Do you agree? Do you think we need a new model of time? Or what is your thought about that? You know, a model of time that embraces spiritual health, contemplation, and a community of practice where we can come in together and talk about this new language. And so next time we're rushing around, or the next time someone says, I'm too busy, you can say, whoa, 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 what do you mean you're too busy? What does that actually mean?
Every time you utter now or time or, you know, present, it stops you in your tracks, you know? It makes you think. It's like, wait, 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 you know? And it's a great understanding, you know, that we've misunderstood what time is, like, for so long, that it's time that we understand so that we can consciously come from it. Because we're always arriving there, so we're coming from it. So now consciously, I'm acknowledging it. What is going to come from it? How do I want to come from it? And I, you know, like you and I have talked about so many times, this life's a great unfolding. And when you can unfold from understanding, I mean, so many amazing things can happen. That's when life really gets exciting. To me, it's exciting.
Well, that's the present, you know, the gift that, when present as gift, right, that you talk about, that when you come from it, you're relating to time. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you start relating to it, instead of making it your friend, it shows up as a gift instead of running toward it or running away from it, right?
Yeah. You start creating. Like that's when life, I mean, you are really living. And that's, life gets really exciting from there. It's like, ooh, this good stuff. Ooh, ooh. I mean, he was, he was coming from me. He, you know, it was living and breathing through him, and he was creating and in this awakefulness. We have to be that, but also in a peaceful way. And in the morning, you're peaceful, your mind's not cluttered, and it's just a divine intervention is what I call it. It's just like, woo, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. Look at me.
That's a wake up bell. Anyone else?
Well, I was just thinking in terms of, I grew up in Birmingham, never really left, and I wasn't exposed a lot to thinking like we're talking about. It doesn't mean it wasn't around me. I just didn't pay much attention when it was. And so these concepts in the last few years have really are somewhat new. And so the tendency for me is to kind of default back to the prior 50 something years, right? In thinking or not thinking well about time. So these can seem woo-woo or out there or what, are like, okay, so what? So if I take the time, big deal, how's it going to change anything? And there's always going to be people demanding time. And as you point out rightly in the book, be careful about just, you know, becoming a time management expert to reduce that. That might be helpful, but it's not the real deeper answer that we're talking to. So this is really, at a later age in life, this is really a neat exploration for me, but it's still new. And there are days when I go, you know, it's not worth taking the time to do this. I need to get on with the practical part of life.
I think first, may it always be new. That's the first thing. And I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. I'm going to be the slow student each time. Okay.
And he's going to keep saying that, everybody, just for those of you out there who feel like, I don't get it. So Ronnie's our, I don't get it guy. I mean, not Ronnie. All right, sorry. Ronnie is our get it guy.
I must say, I can be that too.
So I know we're getting close here to time, right? As it is. But you know what's great about it is that instead of like, okay, we got a hard stop, we got to move along, right? We want to like take a moment to be present. So we're in a moment, I'll talk about what's going to happen for the next episode. For those of you who are listening, because this podcast kind of jives with the book, right? The Connoisseur of Time book for now. And so we'll, you know, give you a contemplation for next time. So when you join us, you could have, you know, read that part and thought that through. But I think it's good to pause here and ask everybody to share quickly, briefly, you know, how present they are, you know, just share how present do they feel now compared to when we started? How present do you feel as you're moving into your day? There's a doggy.
Yeah, I was really present until Phoebe started barking.
And you know, Joel, I feel like I can be safe in this space. I was more present at the beginning, and the only reason why I'm losing presence right now is because of the next time obligation that I have. And yeah. It's really challenging me to think more about that, like for real. So, great. I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. There's no judgment, right? We do have to transition. Our brains can only do so much, right? So we start anticipating, and that's important to acknowledge that we can even be present to our anticipating, right? Instead of having to go into like go mode, right?
Right.
So we're softening around these transitions. That's wonderful, Ronnie. See, I told you, Ronnie's the get it guy.
Yes. And I love it, Ronnie. You're amazing.
Thank you, Chris.
So are we all going to get nicknames throughout the podcast? So Ronnie's the get it guy, and then Christy, she gets the now woman or now girl or
now girl. Yeah,
and Art's the slow artist.
Don't even ask me.
By your own identification, if we might add, are.
I got to tell you, when I look back at my life, it's always as if I was about 10 years behind. And it was like, oh, wow, I get it. Everybody else has moved on. So it doesn't surprise me that I'm the slow student.
Well, you know what?
You're a beautiful work of art.
I think.
Nice. Nice, Christy. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say something about it, that all those other people, they've been burning out, Art, on the treadmill. You really have it going on.
If you say so. Hey, let me add something real quick. I think if you got a second, I just, when you were talking a minute ago, it really came back to me. People may be familiar with C.S. Lewis, the great mid 20th.
Oh yeah. Century, yeah.
And whatever else you agree or disagree, he could see behind things and solve and just describe things where you go, oh, that's right. How did I not know that? He talked about time in one of his lesser known books about the idea that the way we talk about time, like, oh man, the clock stopped. It just seems like it stopped, or time keeps standing still, or boy, that was fast. And he said the way we describe it would be like a fish, as if the fish was constantly saying, this water is strange.
Yeah.
but then he went on to say, this was the real kicker, was that, yeah, that would be strange indeed, unless maybe the fish was meant to be a different creature someday, which ties you back to what you said about
this. That's perfect. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. And we'll talk about C.S. Lewis throughout this entire podcast series, because there's so much in there. So in terms of next steps, everybody, Connoisseur of Time, you only have to read 10 pages, the first 10 pages. We're keeping it really light here because we don't want to rush through this, right? We want to take our time. And the water that is the metaphor in the C.S. Lewis story is really what we're going to be not only swimming in, but floating in and floating on. And that's the map, right? So that's a great, great, great way to end this. You guys are the best. The alarm, somebody turned it off and we were able to just be here, right?
To explore time.
Dive in.
Kind of like Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo.
That's what this is. You know?
We need to rename the podcast, Ronnie. Oh, wait. I think Disney has that.
All right, right.
Cool. Finding time. Find the time.
Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, thank you.